Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Action. Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Jeff Thomas, Lucy V. Freeman, and our executive director, Cooper. Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
This week in Ambridge was brought to you by emotional blackmail and lots of it. We began the week with me, with my head in my hands. Linda now feels compelled to go through with the Christmas crapicles. And Nick... Oh, hello. That's
hello.
My alarm. Oh. And Neil
PM.
Has...
Are you leading a double life?
Long story. I'll explain the alarm in a minute. Okay. Linda now feels compelled to go through with the Christmas crapicles. And Neil has not only decided to appoint himself as the Gareth Malone of Ambridge, but also had the berserk idea that Georgie might want to be involved. Why? What money is there in a choir? However, the promise of Fallon taking lots of deep breaths gave Georgie a sudden interest in practice. Choral sex, we could call it. Neil is going to be handling the choir's members, he says, and Fallon's doing everything else. Fallon's suggesting some modern classics, Chattanooga Choo Choo, etc. There was a lot of innuendo from Fallon rabbiting on about her thoracic cavity with gestures, and even Neil made one of his strange roaring noises at one stage. Anyway, Ambridge being Ambridge and the most competitive place on earth, we are now in a choir off. Fallon and Jolene going scale to scale. My money's on... I don't care. Well, as we predicted, someone was going to descend on the bull's spare room for the festivities, and this time it's Jill. Obviously, the first thing you do when you go and stay in someone's house is make Christmas puddings and fill the entire house with a sort of raisin sauna.
How annoying.
I had visions of her clanking down the road from Brooker's like a one-man band with a steamer on her head and mixing bowls on each kneecap. Mind you, she is sleeping on top of a box of scampi fries, so she probably wants to keep herself occupied as much as she can. And, as of course, a mother has arrived to stay with her son after family ructions, her son, rather than speaking to his brother about it, rings his brother's wife because over his mean communication. Ooh, it makes me so cross. Alistair said how much he had learned from living with his father. Kenton could maybe learn fascism and small-mindedness from his mother. The love-in between Jolene and Jill continued, with Jolene being forced to watch a heavy petting session between Jill and Leonard. Jill is now basically a teenager, and Jolene is her mum, driving her to the supermarket because she's forgotten her domestic science ingredients and picking her up from her boyfriends. Goodness me, Paul's easy to make laugh, isn't he? How in the world does someone using a microphone get covered in the previous person's lipstick? You don't actually smear a microphone on, or maybe you do, and that's why my sound levels have been so rubbish. Could they not have been an actual joke, or even nothing at all, and we could have just assumed that they got on? That microphone story was the worst I have ever heard, and
so
I've been to weddings.
Funny.
It made me nostalgic for the good old days of Fat Paul Blocker and his hilarious crisp packet banging antics. Well, Paul, not Fat Paul, Nurse Paul, seems to be an all-round good chap, and especially as it appears that he is not prepared to date Rory if he's still dating his Auntie Julianne. Vince was having a slightly worse night than Rory as he decided to go to a completely empty pub in his ex-girlfriend's village, which is full of people who hate him, on a rainy Wednesday to drink by himself on the off chance that someone he didn't like might come in. And they did! So that turned out nice. Stella popped over to Brookfield, where the atmosphere was minus 15 degrees, even by the Arga. Ruth's rope was running out, and David had the cheek to tell Ruth to hold her nerve. When he's such a chicken, he'd be more at home in Josh's laying pen. Why in the world he's now agreed to pay for a holiday to New Zealand that no one's going on, I have no idea. Vince will be billing Brookers for his Just Eat deliveries. She's heartbroken, David. She needs Nando's, unless he puts his foot down. Further news from Cowardy Custard Corner, where Rory was struggling to tell Auntie Julianne that for a business arrangement, the conditions around him seeing other people seemed somewhat woolly, particularly if they are that open to emotional exploitation. Julianne told Rory he was having fun. But as they seem to spend all their time in entirely silent restaurants or massaging Julianne's corns, I'm not entirely sure she's right. Paul has offered to arrange an iconic blowout for Alistair, so that'll take his mind off things. Meanwhile, back at Brooker's, David said that him and Ruth had been like ships in the night. Yep, HMS Shit Show and the Royal Yacht Incandescent. They are now selling the land to someone for cash to get mints off their backs. Ruth seemed relieved and David said he was hopeful, which is the kiss of death if ever I heard it. So hurrah, back to business as usual. Spontaneous deals done on the hoof with no due diligence that will inevitably result in them being bitten on the arse. Carry on, Brookfield. Carry on. The end.
That's so funny. I'm really gutted that they've made up, David and Ruth, aren't you? I was
like, well, everybody had already totally shipped Stella and Ruth and were like, where will they live, do you think? You know, it's like Twitter had decided this is it. It's all over.
The best scene this week was just Stella eating biscuit after biscuit and deliberately not noticing the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll and just saying, have another custard cream. Thanks, Dave.
So where's Jill? Because normally she cooks nice food and this is shit. So where is she? Have you had a massive row and she's moved out? Oh.
What kind of selection is this? I know. Also, I just thought, well, clearly it's 6 p.m. Well, Reese just had dinner.
Yeah.
And they were talking about, say, why wouldn't... See, David's so tight. He's just offering her a... Like, you'd at least say, would you like a glass of wine?
Yes.
And crisps or roasted... dry nut peanut things.
Yes, all those funny Italian things that you eat.
Yeah. But I mean, because I think she was clearly up for a glass of wine, wasn't she? That's
well, she'd settled in for the evening. She'd got her feet up on the fender, as far as I could tell.
You know, you can get two portions out of one can of baked beans, David. Yeah, I will have another Bourbon, but the alcoholic kind. Thank you. Yeah, but I really loved it.
Is your mum coming back at all? Is there anything in the oven, maybe? Could I have a rummage through the deep freeze? You know, just on the off chance.
She'd so gone over for cake, hadn't she? And wine.
But talk about third wheel. David, you know. No, you don't have to leave, David. Yes, he does. I'd rather you did, David.
Well, that's
piss
the thing.
Off.
It was too short-lived.
I know.
The icy atmosphere between them.
I know.
Because they do that really well, actually.
They do,
Ruth
yeah.
is actually very good at... iciness, isn't she? That's actually her forte, is being in a
cross.
Right mood.
Yeah.
Just in a mood.
Yeah.
Just a Mardi on.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that they had to make up. It's boring. But Lucy and William have been watching the football.
Oh,
so we're recording a bit later than usual. That's why we're tired.
Yes.
And you've had to sit through that boring match.
It was really tedious.
Oh, did you manage to write the monologue during...
No, I tried to give it my full attention.
Well done.
There's no mean flipping feet.
Nobody has been good. I think like the last couple of weeks have been really good fun. And I know you didn't like that microphone joke, Lucy, but I went back to listen to that bar scene because I think bar scenes are the most difficult for radio to convey, or anywhere to convey realistically. And I actually... I thought that was high marks, actually, because I know what you mean about the love, but when you're on a first date, that you are overdoing it anyway because you're desperately trying to create an atmosphere.
Yes, look what a lovely time we're having.
Even though it was a shit karaoke story, Rory would have laughed anyway because they were trying to get in each other's pants, so it didn't really matter.
The thing I think I drive people mad because when I watch comedy shows, I don't laugh. I don't laugh.
No, I don't either.
Because I'm trying to think, how did they do that? How did they get that?
No, also,
how
you're
did
trying
they
to
set
think,
that up?
Also, because you think they're trying to make me laugh.
Yeah,
so
I refuse.
Laugh.
Yeah.
<'Cause> We're so petulant.
Yeah. Bitter.
I wish
and,
I was
yeah.
one of those people that laughed at every funny joke.
Well, one of my friends is a comedy writer and he roars with laughter at the most terrible shit. And I think, how can you do... Anyway.
But that's the thing, you've just got to listen to that Radio 4 6:30 series because you're like, well, this got commissioned, so someone laughed.
No, nobody needed to laugh. Just a lot of boxes needed to have been ticked.
On
that's
the
what it was.
Base of three scenes. But anyway, yeah.
But...
So you were listening to that. I wouldn't say but it was you, a comedy
but,
scene.
But like no, scene. But when you write a joke, the joke has to make sense. If it doesn't, you say it's got a ruffle in it or it's got a ripple in it, because it's like a bump in the road. So when you tell a joke, you want somebody to come with you down the road.
Right.
And then if there's something that doesn't make sense, your brain goes, huh? And that's just enough to throw it off. And then right. you miss the punchline, or you miss the point, or you miss the gag or whatever.
Okay.
And because that story didn't make sense in that, how the hell did the microphone end up being covered in lipstick?
Lucy, you're just doing it over.
I know, but I can't help it. But it's like when vet people listen to Alistair talking and then go, oh, as if you'd prescribe antibiotics for that, you know, whatever. And, but I'm like that with funny stories in inverted commas that clearly aren't.
No, it also crossed my mind, like, how did he get, like, what, because was it a fuzzy microphone, in which case, or if it was like a metal microphone, how, sort of like, it's quite difficult to imagine how the lipstick would have ended up on, but it didn't matter, it just didn't matter, because it was by the by.
And but it did matter.
But to be honest, I was like, that's quite hard. What is the punchline otherwise? Like, yeah. It's quite a hard story to find a punchline for anyway. Yeah,
so why pick that story? Why not just make one up?
It doesn't matter. But I thought maybe in a way that's more truthful. Like, Paul isn't the funny. He's very lovely and sweet and cute, but he's not like the sharpest tool in the book, is he?
No.
And so he wouldn't have had a really
tool in the box,
ripping...
not tool in the book.
Whatever. Look in the zoo. I'm just so good at writing the comedy scenes. They'd all make sense. But I actually thought that they pulled off, because I think they have good bants, and I think Paul is a really good actor, actually. He doesn't, I think he, although sometimes I think he's written a bit over the top, I think he can then pull it back a bit to sound like very conversational and normal and natural. Do you disagree? Do you think it's a bit OTT?
No, I do. I like him, and I like the fact that he's got
common sense,
a bit of moral fibre, and a kind of a no, I'm not.
I'm so glad that scene ended the way it did, actually.
I'm not just, he said, not, what did he say? Not all 20-year-olds are just out for the same.
No, but
thing.
Yeah, also the fact that he wasn't stupid.
Yeah.
But if I was Rory, I would have just said, JW is my boss. My boss texts me all the time. It's a nightmare. And I've got quite an intense relationship with my boss. I would have just lied, wouldn't you?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. But maybe he doesn't want to lie. Maybe he does really like.
Yeah, but that's why I felt like this week was, I just don't know, I thought I had really interesting relationship. Everything has slightly, feels to me like everything's got slightly more complicated. Everything's twisted a bit. Like, you know, Jill leaving the family home and sort of, you know, it's everything's like rebooting in a way. And then the complicated relationship with Rory and Julianne, that's now become really interesting. And Jolene and Fallon having that amazing... it's sort of like become much more real in a way.
Do you think?
What do you think? Yeah, I genuinely... I loved last week and I loved this week because everything felt a bit fresh, I think.
Well, everyone's saying what a good... Everyone on the emails is saying what a good week it's been. I'm really enjoying it at the moment.
It's because things have, I don't know, like... just become that little bit more.
And there's also lots of storylines bubbling along at once, so we're not all focused on one, because when it was the Chelsea Ben thing, it became a bit Helen and Rob in that we were like, ooh, and when we weren't there we were worrying what's happening when we weren't there, you know.
And also, and that's the thing, but these type of little storylines you can totally believe as well. Lena, they're just sort of tensions, aren't they, between relationships, which is just obviously it happens all the time. I'm really enjoying Paul being in the show.
Me too. Yes. And he's a good addition, and now especially now he's toned down a bit.
But then my 11-year-old was listening. She doesn't listen to The Archers, but it happened to be on when she was listening. And then she said, oh, why didn't they kiss? And I said, oh, because he thinks he's in another relationship. And she was like, who's JW? And I was like, his girlfriend. And then she was like, he's got a girlfriend, but he was going to... And then it just... I was like, I don't want to... Can we just end this conversation?
Do you not have homework to do? Anyway, did you put those shoes back? We'll go and do that.
It suddenly made me think, God, actually, the Archers is quite racy. Because they... even Julianne was like... Yeah, I mean, I really enjoy the sex, but the rest of it is like, and I was like, oh,
I know.
Oh, golly. Oh, I got a bit hot and flustered when she said that because I was like, I forgot.
Julianne, we don't talk about her.
I say it. Just sucked her toes. But also, then it made me think. I think that's the thing this week has really made me think. And like, so he must like Julianne because if they've been in a sexual relationship now it's been a while, hasn't it?
Mm.
He's obviously attracted. I don't know how.
He's 19.
She just can make his attract without him necessarily being attracted. Well, she must be an attractive woman.
Mm.
Can boys just get an erection even if they don't fancy the girl? I don't know.
How old are you, and why are you asking me this? You've got four children.
But he must, if they are having a good sex life, which we haven't heard from him that he's not.
Mm.
Because not so long ago, it sounded like he was the one falling for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that was, I stick to my guns on that. Oh, yeah? That was him trying to persuade himself. Because because Ben had accused him of being a prostitute.
Yeah.
He'd said, no, I'm not. This is a proper relationship. And then he had to, because he'd said it and realised the massive gulf between what he'd said and what actually the case was, he then had to sort of, in his head, try and pretend that it was.
And almost get verification from her that it was. Yeah.
She is. Ooh, she is really unpleasant.
She is. But again, I thought that she argued the case. I ended up thinking, actually, Julianne, this is contract is fine. I'm getting loads out of it. You're getting, well, I think we're all happy.
Yeah, but
here.
If that's the case, why was she repeatedly messaging him yesterday?
Yeah, no, totally. She is a great character in that she's so powerful, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
I was going, yeah, too right. Yeah, shut up, Rory.
Get on with it. Drop your trousers.
Come on, Rory. Go and look at all. What have you got to lose except your pants every night?
Yeah.
But the trouble is, I think you're right, though. It's funny what you said about that they're never having fun because. Oh. Every time we hear them, it's in a stilted situation.
It's like an Akeborn hotel breakfast. It's like clink, 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 clink.
Yes,
and you just
is.
Think, oh, my God.
And they both
How's your salmon? Oh, it's delicious. Looking forward to the sex later. Yes. Oh, yes, as am I. Yes.
It's the most rigid sort of sex. But that
it's Tuesday, Rory. You know what happens on a Tuesday.
I know, but I feel like I want to know more about their sex life.
I want to know a lot less.
Because we don't really... Or I want to hear... I don't know, like... It's all we hear is her going through the diary and then they make a reference to something...
Staying over somewhere or something like
over.
That. Yeah.
But she makes such a good... I think she's a great...
Mm.
Great character because she makes such a good case, you sort of
wonder because I don't know how rude we can be on this show because I know that there's small children.
Small children, babies in particular.
Yes. Okay, with babies.
Put a dummy in your ears.
Yeah. La 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 la.
Lucy is keen to see some rude words.
Sexual.
This scene has a sexual...
Scenes of an upsetting nature.
Scenes of an upsetting nature. Cooper, look away now.
There's a tendency, I think, to think of the relationship as her being the boss in all areas. So therefore, is it some sort of domination thing?
Yeah.
Is it some sort of, you know, very, very power and control relationship, sort of BDSM or whatever? Or is it kind of because when... Older ladies hire gigolos. It's the gentleman's enjoyment is often quite far behind in priority that of the lady. So,
that's what I was wondering.
Yes.
Yeah, when I was thinking.
It all depends what the deal is, as she said, and, you know, all that.
Is she getting a lot more out of it than he is?
Mm.
Yes. I think we're thinking the same thing, Lucy.
Yes.
Are you thinking it's quite far down?
Yes.
Yes.
He comes quite far down the list.
He comes where? In where?
Far down. Really far down.
Well, that's why, not that I've been thinking about Rory's reaction all week, but I was thinking, in the event that he isn't super turned on, it doesn't really matter, does it?
Because no one's getting pregnant, that's what we're saying.
That would be the ultimate twist.
Oh my
God. Julia gets pregnant, Ben adopts the baby, and Jazza brings it up. It's just, that's going to be the ultimate twist. okay, well, anyway, yeah, I think we've covered.
Got a bit warm now. I lit the fire before. I'm not sure I need it now. Anyway.
Yeah, but there was a lot of, because then there was the Fallon.
Yes.
And Georgie.
Watch me breathing out, oh, Neil and Georgie.
I actually thought any male listener of any orientation listening to this episode is going to be a little bit excited by.
Yes, I think Jeff nearly passed out. He said to me, can you do Fallon's voice? And I said, no. And he went, oh.
She's hard. She is
difficult.
She's unique in her sexiness, isn't she? But when she touched his diaphragm or whatever she did, I think everybody gulped.
Yeah.
She was really playing that, wasn't she?
She really was. She got sexy, sexy. Even, not just sexy voice. She'd got sexy, sexy voice on.
She did. Even the way she was sort of like heavy breathing with
Do
Neil.
Do you see what I'm doing with my chest, Neil? And Neil went, "Ugh!" I think he just fell over. You're right down there, Neil.
I thought that was a genius week. And also in that episode, as a side of the brilliant one-to-one vocal, what did you call it? Vocal sex.
Choral sex.
Choral sex. Of course it's not vocal sex. Choral sex. Yeah, that's why you're the comedy writer. No, there was a nice little touch in that scene, Lucy, where Eddie said to George, you go and apologise to Neil because you've really you've. And I wanted to give Eddie a big hug and applause, and to the scriptwriters, because usually that never happens.
Yeah.
You know, like, usually the character of Neil or whoever it is just left to be disappointed.
Yeah.
But the fact that the other granddad said, do not treat your granddad like that, I was so happy to hear that.
Yes. Yes, I really like that. And I thought, Georgie's not getting that from Will, because Georgie's a bit spoiled. Because everyone's trying to compensate for the fact that, you know, he had a somewhat confused upbringing and about eight mothers. So,
who's my dad? Yeah.
Look, it's probably a Grundy. Is that not good enough, George? Blimey.
It's me and my sister. Can I? Yeah.
Yeah. And he's not getting those boundaries from anywhere else. He's not getting that respect from anywhere else, except the unlikely figure of Eddie.
But also, now he's got a Julianne figure in the figure of Fallon. She might, you know, tame him in a way.
Well, there was, there's always somebody on Twitter that's like, you know, the outlier that comes up with the most peculiar interpretation of a storyline, and everyone just goes, it could, blimey, thinking, where did that come from? But about three different people said, Fallon, don't get left on your own with him. Because if he tries it on and you reject him, he's exactly the sort of little tick that would then say
Fallon tried it on.
Yeah,
I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's just always going to be played for the laughs.
Yeah, I hope so.
Because I don't think she was meant to be sound so seductive. I think we were just supposed to believe that George was thinking that, but she was basically playing the voice that George was hearing in his head, wasn't she?
Let me take my really top off, Georgie, and then you'll be able to see my chest moving even clearer. Clearer.
Tell me more about Drokenji. I looked up.
Imagine when he said I couldn't actually hear the, because of
it was so funny.
In the chorus, that gave me an opportunity to hear it, Georgie. Otherwise, it was just swearing and talking about Your wallet and Ferraris. Yes, jewelry.
I had to look it up because I felt there were quite a lot of musical references, all real ones this
but
week.
But you are then down with the Ute, Harriet, so you should know all this.
Yeah, because I'm all over Olivia Rodriguez.
Yes.
Queen Olivia Rodriguez.
I think it's Rodrigo.
Well, whatever.
That's because I am actually down.
No, I am. Like, I can literally, do you want me to play you something from my playlist?
No, thank you.
I'm going to anyway.
Okay, I thought you would.
I looked up, what's his name? Joe Kenji.
You tell me.
And I watched Peter his video, Pan. Lucy, on YouTube. It's called Kill Cupid, is one of his big songs. Featuring Snot. Snot is the other artist involved in the making of that song. So just thought you'd...
You sure it's not S-Not or something?
Actually, the S is like a dollar sign. But it's not. Let's not kid ourselves.
That sounds like the sort of band that the Young Ones would have made.
Yes, it is exactly that, isn't it?
Snot. Oh, I like this one. I've got this.
It's a brilliant song.
Yeah.
I genuinely, I only listen to her, obviously, because my girls do, but I really do genuinely like all her songs.
Yeah.
And, it was just quite sweet, all those sort of references.
Yeah.
Who was the one that the boys loved? Diana Ross, that their mums liked?
Yeah. The Supremes.
That was quite sweet, though, wasn't it?
That they both
I really liked that.
Yeah.
All of that was good.
And then, if they get together properly,
yeah,
then Rory can have another mummy, can't he?
Oh, because she'd be such a nice.
She
mummy.
Would. She'd
and
be lovely.
And then Alistair can be his other daddy.
Yes.
Oh, cute. Yeah.
Should we make that happen?
Let's make it happen. But then I am really following with interest the Julianne thing.
Yes, she's going to go postal, isn't she?
Well, I think he's just not going to split up with her, is he? And then he'll get together with Paul and then it'll all come out. Somehow.
Paul will be appalled, though.
Paul will be appalled.
Yeah.
No, because another good thing about Julianne, that's what makes her so nasty but powerful, which is what I like, is that when she sort of went, oh, Rory, I don't give a shit if you leave me. And then he was like, oh, you know, like, she's so good.
But she's good at saying it, but if you don't need somebody, you don't ring them every 10 minutes.
No, I know. But that, again, that's part of her power play, isn't it? Like, she's just always got her talons in him all the time.
Mm. Yeah. Excuse me, the creeps.
But then, you know, and then I thought the week can't get any better. And then they did. Oh, yeah, because you know when Jolene was having a love-in with Jill?
Yeah.
And going off in the car to her to see Leonard, which was weird, wasn't it? Did they go to the old people's home?
Leonard's not in an old people's home.
No, where did they go, though, to see Leonard?
Where he lives.
And she dropped in. Yeah, but where does he live?
Oh, he lives, somebody said on Twitter. It's not Borchester, but it's outside Borchester.
Because in my head, he's still sort of hanging around the Laurels with his wife, who's obviously died now, hasn't she?
Yeah. No. He lives in a place.
Okay, so he's got... Well, why couldn't Jill go and live there?
Well, that's what everyone said.
Right, okay. Mm. I'm behind the Twitter this week.
There is absolutely no reason why she couldn't go and
live with him. Exactly. Mm. And I like the fact that she went to Jolene and Kenton and not Lizzie.
With all her Christmas pudding ingredients.
That is so funny. Can you imagine if on the first day your mother-in-law's like, right, I'm making Christmas puddings. And you're like, I just got to make some sandwiches for the...
No, the clear the side, public. Please.
Okay, sure.
You have to steam the bloody things for 6 hours.
Oh, I just, honestly, I'd have... That's what... But I loved the fact that Jolene was so pious. Because that is what's great about Jolene. She was like, charity, charity, charity. And then she was just a fucking diva, wasn't she? And such... I absolutely loved her big-headed ego diva-ness with
You're
Fallon.
Talking to the Lily of Leighton Cross.
You were in an amateur rock band, but I think you'll find... Actually, ma'am, we were quite good. 7 out of 10. But that was, oh my God, it was brilliant, that scene between Jolene and Fallon.
And after we'd gone from, oh, I can't believe we both had the same idea. That's so lovely. What do you mean you're doing it as well?
Because when Jolene originally said about her idea, yeah, I was like, of course it's going to be a choir, yeah, because then it's going to clash with her. But then they, yeah, all became the sort of charity, let's put the fire on for the poor people sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh no, it's not the choir. And then it was the choir, and I'm so happy that there's going to be a clash of choirs. The choir off is brilliant. Yeah. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm so happy about
that. I'm just happy there's not another flipping pantomime.
Yeah, me too. Mm. Two choirs. Well, and also it means, presumably, they are recording some cool choir stuff. Because I, listening to the Barchester Chronicles or whatever on Boxing Day on Radio 4 is so boring. But actually, some nice choir music.
Yeah.
One with like a bit of youth in it. Yeah.
Yep.
And then another one, which is slightly older,
yeah,
is going to be good.
I think you'll find that's actually a bit patronising, Harriet.
I know. But I just am patronising.
No, but that's what she said, wasn't it? She said to Fallon.
Yeah, she said, yeah. Yeah, but it was, and it was the way Fallon said it. Yeah.
And we'll have some of the geriatrics there, Mum. Yeah, like you, it's fine.
Well, you could do a solo.
You'd like that, wouldn't you? Yes, solo, on your own. Yes. Put your cardigan on. Yeah.
That was great. Also, I didn't tell you this week when I was doing a... I've signed all sorts of things, so I can't really talk about it. But I was doing a computer game and my character was in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, well, we'll play the opposing voice into you. You know, like they'd already recorded that opposing voice. And my fight opponent was Leonard.
No!
I'm not joking. He was who my character was fighting.
You had to thump Leonard?
I had to thump Leonard. It was all quite playful because it's quite a sort of fun game, but...
Did you have to go, Leonard.
I basically smashed him to the ground.
Yeah. You cow.
In a sort of fun kind of way, Lizzie.
Oh, yeah, so, smashing, you know, an old man to the ground. That's really fun,
I didn't have a massive, like, crossbow.
You didn't have an axe or anything?
Didn't have anything. There was no... I don't think there was blood.
Okay.
But it was still a bit weird when they played the voice and I went, oh,
I... Hello, Leonard. Oh, sorry.
I wasn't expecting that. But what fun.
Did he say he'd bain cash and ask for half a shandy or whatever it was? No, I'll have a lager top.
But anyway, that was very funny.
Oh, how funny.
And David, why are you paying for New Zealand? You dick.
For God's sake.
You just say no. You just don't give the money, you stupid man.
Do you know what? Vince... This Vince just wants somebody to thump him.
He just wants attention. He's just a massive attention seeker.
He just wants someone to thump him and then he can either go to hospital or have a little thump back. Maybe he should be fighting Leonard, not you. Who knows? But
that's the thing. He's one of those people that just goes, just pokes and pokes.
Yeah.
Until you do punch him.
Yeah.
Because that's what he's
and that was good that Tracy got in the way and said, great. No, that's what he wants. But... He desperately, he's just reaching around for more things that he can think of to try and provoke David. Yes. So the next thing is going to be, I want to sleep in between you and Ruth. Yeah. I want to marry
David. Just see, yes. We've got to get him off our back. And I mean, literally off our back, off my back. Get him off my back.
I don't know how your sister did it. He's crushing me, David.
Guys, can you keep the noise down? Yeah. I'm trying to get off with Russ here. Oh, my God. I loved it. I think I loved this week.
I think him, it was the most pathetic bit of toxic masculinity I've ever seen was Vince travelling to go and sit in an empty pub on a wet Wednesday where in a village where everyone hates him. It was literally just so that he could pick a fight with someone.
But why doesn't he go to New Zealand with Lizzie or give it to Steph or...
Yeah.
You know, like, exactly. Oh, yeah. I mean, there is obviously there's no logic. Yeah. But it's
and he's,
like...
And even David said he's getting the money back anyway. So we were like, exactly. So why are you paying him?
At all protected. Banana.
Yeah. Please make sure the toilet... Maybe they did it so fast that time, David.
Terms and conditions apply. Yeah. No breaking up with partners. That doesn't count. No getting other people pregnant. See in store for details.
yes, it was a good week.
It was a great week.
I didn't dread listening at any evening.
Exactly. That comes back to it's no big horrible storyline. Yeah. It's just quite believable.
It was like rubbing your hands with glee. Ooh, what's going to happen?
The only slightly weird thing I thought was Paul and Lizzie's chat when he was like, Paul was just really moaning onto her, and she was a bit like, "All right."
I who are
don't
you again?
Need your life story. Yeah, exactly. I'm you're
the,
for like
you're the
30
vet
seconds.
Thing, aren't you?
But suddenly she was really invested. Everyone was so invested in Paul and Rory's relationship. Yeah. And they barely know Paul. They've never, ever spoken to Rory, most of them. So it was a bit weird.
Well, poor old Denise was the sodding vet nurse there for about 15 years. Yeah. We only got to know her in the last 15 minutes before she left. And now her son's here and it's like, you know, he's like the second coming. Everyone's all over him.
I think we all know what's going to happen at that Christmas party,
yes,
Lucy.
We do.
I think there's going to be a bit of mistletoe and it's not going to be Paul and Rory snogging under it.
Lily.
but it's all good fun.
It was. Shall we hear what our listeners...
Yes, please.
Jake says... Well, Jill can take her attitude and shove it up her bumhole. I remain certain you will have much better and lovely people to explain this. I still say bumhole. I came for the archers, but stay for the pastry and the need for the trousers to take home, he says. Gethin Bennett says, I write, finding myself amazed that I've been a loyal listener of the Archers for over a decade. I resisted listening for years, turning off Radio 4 when I heard the theme tune when driving home. Now there's not a Sunday that I don't find myself listening to the omnibus as I iron shirts for the week ahead. Lots of people use it to iron to.
Oh, great thing to iron to. Not that, oh, what am I talking about? I don't even have an iron. But I can imagine if you're into that.
This routine has been an event of great solace. I did relent once when I awoke to the furore of Helen wielding the knife to Rob. It is now only bettered by having discovered your podcast. Like any dedicated Archers listener, I have recruited an acolyte, Sarah Henton, and she has now been recruited to your podcast. Hello, Sarah.
Yay.
I love your recaps and thoughts, although I don't agree with your contempt for Ben and his support of Chelsea, and I look forward to your ramblings as much as the omnibus itself. Ramblings, Gethin, how very dare you. Yes, I don't think...
Ben is controversial, isn't it?
Yes, we weren't holding Ben in contempt for his support of Chelsea. We were holding him in contempt...
Of being annoying.
For being annoying. And
crying
just
too much
his,
on the radio.
His obsessive... need to keep everyone talking about him rather than Chelsea, who was actually having the termination.
And who's fine.
And who's absolutely fine. And
apparently.
Probably still cutting everybody's hair. Now, you know Michael Gorman from the Agatha Christie?
Yes.
He's not, but he is an amazingly famous librarian.
Yes. So yeah, he just happens to be called Michael Gorman.
We thought he was Michael Gorman.
From Bertram's Hotel.
From Bertram's Hotel.
But was he Michael Gorman who has had the uncle who... Is that... Michael Gorman is an older listener?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But, not the one with the older... Not the one with the uncle.
No. Okay, no.
Someone else. Who was it? Alison, I think. Messaged us and said, oh my God, Michael Gorman is really, really famous. He's like librarian god.
Yes.
King of the librarians
he is.
Right. And he's in Wikipedia and everything.
Yes, that's right. You showed me.
Yes.
Like and has like got there's is it's a really, really fascinating Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
Because before you were like a librarian as a librarian, then you go on that Wikipedia page, you go, oh my God, that's what librarianism is.
He is the king of librarians and all other librarians have to give him gold bookmarks when they see him.
Yeah, you don't just, it doesn't mean checking someone's book out.
No.
It means like principles by which to live your life.
Yes.
To run society by.
Yeah. Anyway, he's emailed us about the Archers.
Not with a late ticket.
He says, the nickname for the great state of Minnesota is Land of 10,000 Lakes. That means there is an ample sufficiency of obscure, out-of-the-way bodies of water for a group of Archers desperados to have taken Titchener for a final swim after fitting him with cement shoes. That's because last week's listener said, because everyone says, oh, Rob Titchener's gone to Canada, and she said no, yeah. He actually went to Minnesota,
and I wanted to do like a little montage of her life. I still do. Maybe I will one day.
Now,
so thanks, Michael Gorman.
Yes,
so that means there's one famous person listening to our podcast.
Hooray! Yes,
if anyone else is famous,
yeah. Tom Cruise,
text me.
You out there? Charlize Theron, anyone.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Lonnie Behar,
great,
says, from New York, says, who we know as Witherspoon.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Says.
I only know him as Witherspoon.
Yeah.
I prefer the other name. Why can't he just be Lonnie?
He's gone off Twitter, but he said he was, because normally he messages on Twitter. He's talking about Jill. He just said three words: frontotemporal lobe dementia. He said basically she's got, she's developed dementia, and that explains the angriness. But yes, that would explain the rapid. I mean, she's always been a bit snippy, but this is rapid kind of. Horribleness, isn't it?
Although, on the other hand, we haven't, like, since her big flouncing off, you know, she's been out and about with Jolene and nobody said, oh, she seems different. It's just all about the stubbornness.
Yeah. And so it's stubbornness, and it's still the rivalry with Ruth.
Yeah, I'm actually less worried about her being ill than I was at the start of the week, because they haven't referred to anything other than her being a bit of a bitch.
Yeah. This is Helen Sherwood, and you know, remember last week we were talking about internships and people getting opportunities through internships, but only if their parent had a grand going,
like Rory, or if they're sleeping with an older woman.
Who are you? Helen Sherwood says, I was thoroughly appalled, though sadly not surprised, by Lucy's revelation that people are still offering out internships as prizes in raffles. I've spent the last 8 years championing the massive advantages of placements and internships. I'm now at Hayes Talent Solutions as their early career solutions manager. The industry as a whole pushes for equity to enable everyone access to opportunities and ensure that the best talent is available, not just the entitled. Plenty of organisations out there, such as the 93% Club, are doing their bit. Jill Archer, she says, her voice is very old now. There's been a real change in it, and it sounds as though she's fading fast, so it wouldn't surprise me if they killed off the character very soon, while still in family feud mode and the story persists for many a year with Ruth being blamed. Totally get the she's old, just ignore it approach, but equally from Ben's position, it sounds just as though you agree with it if you're not prepared to defend him being maligned like that, poor kid. Now, why no one actually tells the whole story to either Mince or Jill, that Chelsea was just being a nice supportive friend that consoled him when he was on a break and that Ben had massively supported and offered to unconditionally support any choice that Chelsea made, which is far more than most would ever do, is beyond me.
Helen down to Brookfield. She's mediating.
The approach both Ben and Chelsea took was so brilliant and shows them both in very good character. Curious how Kenton copes, and no one has mentioned any mobility issues for Jill. 90-something getting up the stairs is hardly believable, but could there be some challenges for accessibility in the ball that ultimately results in Jill's demise? Ooh, falling down the stairs onto a Christmas pudding. Imagine that. I'm loving the pool scenes, but agree that it's a bit off to assume that every gay character will be instantly attracted to the other ones. I'm hoping that Brad doesn't lose Oliver's trust with the Hunt ball shenanigans, and Mia doesn't lead him astray after all. That is surely what the truly horrid George's role is. Yes, I really don't want that to happen because it would just be terrible for all of them.
But Brad should... It's probably next week, isn't it, that he's going off on the thing? So as long
The maths thing, yeah.
Yeah, but it's coming up, isn't it?
So yeah.
As long as he actually gets on it, then I don't mind if they have a falling out after.
I love the idea. We forgot to talk about, you know, Oliver said, oh, I booked you a hotel and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I have visions of all the other students, you know, sleeping in halls and whatever.
Horrible dorms.
He's booked into some sort of boutique hotel. What time would you like your morning call, sir? Just tick which newspaper you want.
I know. I hope that I don't. Well, we didn't hear about it. That didn't have any repercussions this week, did it?
Sort of skidded to a halt, that one.
But also, as you said, Jill doesn't have any mobility issues because she got herself from Brookfield to Bull.
Well, she dragged a writing desk with her last time, so at least she only had pots and pans this time.
Yeah, all that mincemeat must be very heavy. And that's before she's put her knickknacks in. Yeah, she's doing all right.
Dorothy King says, I've been listening to you for a few months since my sister stopped listening to The Archers and I didn't have her to talk about it anymore.
No.
I've noticed a few romance storylines have been teased and then just dropped and we've not heard any more. I count Kirsty and Ardil, Alistair. Yeah, where is Ardil?
Yes.
Alistair and Denise, and my biggest bet, Pip and Stella. I know some people have said Ruth and Stella, but I think Pip is a better candidate and also closer to her in age. Wonder what Jill will say about that. I don't think Jill has dementia, and I hope the writers don't let her off the hook by taking the story that way. She's not unwell. She's ignorant and judgmental. Good on Ruth for letting her have it. All the best, Dorothy, age 27.
And good on Ruth for not backing down, because I thought when her and David made up, Ruth was going to go... All right. She's just an old lady. Let's go on, you know. Actually, she... That's, again, makes a character believable, doesn't it? When they just stick to their guns. Like, I have actually really thought Ruth was great this week. You know, usually she's great, but annoying.
Yeah.
But she's been... I love the fact that she's being really, you know, dogmatic about this.
Yeah.
Is that the right word?
Yeah. She's not dogmatic in that she's just sticking to it for no reason, just for to be stubborn and make a point. She's sticking to it because she genuinely believes that that's the correct...
Yeah, what's the word I should have used there? She's like not committed, but she's being really... It's like that you're sticking to your guns. If anybody wants to write in with
I don't know. I don't know. If anybody, what is good with the words, could write in, that would be great. Thanking you.
Thank you.
Julie Bacon says, says, I don't recall anyone asking Ben what he would have chosen as his desired outcome from the unplanned pregnancy. As soon as he realised that Chelsea was pregnant, he switched admirably into the mode of 100% support for whatever she decided. In the desire to do the right thing, which it was, he hasn't had the chance to process his own wishes or even acknowledge that he might not know what they were. He needs someone to help him realise that it's okay for him to have his own feelings about what happened, which can sit alongside his commitment to Chelsea's right to decide. For Ben, this whole thing has been about loss of self-understanding, not being the good person he thought he was, and self-esteem. Loss of one particular future as a father, which might not have been the future he expected, but which is now forever a what if. Loss of the girlfriend he loves as he seeks to punish himself for what he perceives as his failures. Now, loss of the love of the grandmother he adores, her comments reinforcing his own sense of failure and shame. That's a whole lot of loss for a young person to deal with. He could really do with therapy.
Oh, that's true, isn't it? That's a lot of grief as well, isn't it?
Oh, Julie, everybody in Ambridge could do with a whole lot of therapy. I know children that have had more therapy than all of the adults in Ambridge put together.
Who would be the best therapist? Who would be the best person to speak to?
Carol Toboggan.
Carol Toboggan. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Good plan. I love Eleanor Bron.
Me too.
What was I listening? Anything read by Eleanor Bron on Audible is just absolutely to download immediately.
Yes. Whatever it is. Steve Barry says, bearing in mind Harriet's brief impression of a pig having sex, perhaps they're not ready for this. He's suggesting that we aren't not ready for this level of autonomy because Cooper went out and left us unsupervised. As regards last week's going on, while I feel that perhaps David could do with his testicles dropping, in his defence, perhaps it is worth remembering the old adage that men tend to marry women that remind them in some way of their mothers, which I would suggest doesn't put Ruth in a very good light. Being stuck between your wife and your mother, I'm sure, is a difficult thing to balance, but when your mother is being so obviously rude to your currently vulnerable son, I would suggest sitting on the fence is no longer an option. I would agree that Jill can hold whatever views she chooses to, and her age may well influence that, but how she expresses that view to others is not excused just because she might die soon. Regards, Steve. Yes.
God, I mean, everybody's against Jill, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, I agree she's been a wrong'un, but I do feel, I don't know, I'm quite shocked that everybody is so, wrong, Jill.
I think for long-term listeners, they remember how she behaved to Lizzie when Lizzie had the abortion. She wasn't particularly kind to Shula when Shula was having fertility problems, I think. She was really unpleasant to Ruth when Ruth first came to Ambridge. She has definitely
had got form.
Yeah.
And she's got.
She's not fluffy old. She's not fluffy old granny.
No, that's interesting, isn't it? Because I sort of only really picture her as the cake baking, hooting Jill. But you're right.
She does every now and again. She does. The reason she's got the hootie moniker is because when she disagrees with something, she does give this sort of hoot of derision at how ridiculous it is that somebody could possibly think something when it's something she doesn't agree with.
I guess when Phil died, then she was sort of cast in a poor Jill, because she actually managed really well, didn't she? But a bit more like then she became the old person. Sort of what happens, isn't it?
But also it was what's making this all the more poignant is that it was her good relationship with Ben, I think, that a lot of people really like, that cross-generational thing.
Beekeeping and all
that. And the fact that she's trampled all over that is what makes people think, right, okay, you're going to have it in the neck now. We're not holding back.
I'll just go to Jolene's. I can't do Jill's voice for love nor money, but
you don't have to do a voice, you just have to go woo, which is
woo. Woo. Well, it's changed now anyway, hasn't it?
Yes.
Like that.
This is from Emma, who says, hearing Harriet speak of her excitement at the Hunt ball and how she almost felt as though she were going herself reminded me of a similar moment several years back when Chris and Alice tied the knot unexpectedly in Las Vegas, then later held a wedding party in Ambridge to celebrate the event. The party was slated for the Friday episode, and I spent the week looking forward to it in a slightly weird way for a pretend party on the radio. My sense of vicarious excitement soared when I overheard a colleague saying she was taking that same day off to travel to a wedding party. Oh, dear. I love the podcast almost more than the Archers itself, she says. That's very nice, Emma, but it would be a bit pointless to listen to this without listening to the Archers.
It depends on the week.
It does, really, yes.
To be honest, for both things.
So there you go. You're not alone. You found a fellow loony in Emma. You can look forward to parties on the radio that are pretend.
I wish there was more party events in Ambridge that I looked forward to. There's not enough black. There aren't enough black tie.
Black tie. Yes, that's what you really liked, isn't it?
I want a black tie. I hope the vets party is a bit more classy than I'm imagining.
God, I shouldn't
think
so. It'd be karaoke, won't it?
Oh my God.
Well, when Ardil comes back from the dead and actually starts putting
when Linda unlocks him from his room. Yeah.
When he puts up some plywood shutters on Gay Grables and reopens it as a spa or whatever.
Yeah, we've come. we've completely forgotten yeah. about all that.
Then maybe there'll be a grand opening and you can go to that.
Yay! Oh, I can't.
You can go with Emma. You can go together. That'd be lovely.
It'd be lovely.
Yeah.
Really nice. Really nice. Nice.
This is from Minnie. He says, I didn't expect to email this week because I've been very behind on these last 2 weeks, but the teacher strike in Scotland has provided me with an opportunity to spend a full morning listening to the Archers. Minnie, I think you were probably supposed to be doing the work that they'd set you, but anyway, I was very surprised to realise that there doesn't seem to have been a mention of the World Cup yet, but correct me if I'm wrong, I'd think that Ambridge would be watching England play at least, because my school managed to shut down the whole Glasgow school internet and all of the iPads by watching the World Cup excessively, and wow. Scotland didn't even make the tournament.
Oh, wow.
Paul's mention of Olivia Rodrigo really, really, really annoyed me this week because she would
because
not
it's
say
for old people like us.
Yes, because she would not say it's brutal out there. She would say it's brutal out here because she is in said brutal work world place. Get it right, writers. Anyway,
this is why we love the young people
yeah.
writing in, Lucy.
Because it makes us feel ancient. Anyway, all that's left to say is that Jill is a right twat and I'm starting to like Ruth. And, of course, it wasn't going to be the end of Mince. He was vile in the bull on Wednesday. Yes, he was. Really, really unpleasant. And also quite pitiful.
Yeah, but also, where's Lizzie? Where's yeah. Lizzie going, don't be a dick.
Stop being a tit, yeah.
And that's my brother that you're
yeah.
threatening.
Yeah.
She's... lame, Lizzie is, because she just ignores Vince mm. most of the time, doesn't she?
Yeah. She he's like a sort of old dog just stumping along behind her, and when she gets fed up, she just shuts the door on him.
Yeah. And dreams of a better world.
Yeah. I'm going to get a puppy. Go away, Vince. He's humping my leg again.
Oh, have a shower at least, darling. You stink. yes.
Right.
Yes.
Daniel Everett.
Hi, Dan.
Hello, Lucy, Harriet, Cooper, Jeff, Mum, Auntie Jo, and Jill if Jolene's kicked her out to you guys. I apologise for my brother's remarks. I don't know what he's on. He's been preaching Rella Stuth since Stella came in. I think it's very clear that George has a crush on Fallon, although what they'll gain from it seems a bit odd. I thought George was actually quite a rounded character this week. Denise returning. I think Paul and Rory are really good together. I also think they're laying on the gay a bit thick, but I don't know. We have Patreonised, and so we'll be seeing you
wow.
at the Crimbo Bash.
Oh,
I will be coming
God.
As Brad, he says. From Daniel Everett.
Lucy, this party I am genuinely looking forward to.
Yes.
Even more than the hump ball.
But we are having a cocktail party with our Patreons on the 21st of December. And
is that official now?
Yes. Yes.
Have you put the date out there?
Yes.
To the Patreons?
Yes.
Can they come?
Yes.
Okay.
And they're dressing up.
Yes.
Steve is coming as Sabrina Thwaite,
yeah,
which will be
brilliant.
A challenge for everybody. I'm coming as Brian Aldridge, I think.
I'm coming as Rob.
I think Jeff is coming as Febreze. I don't know why.
I actually don't know who to come as yet. Oh, go away. I could do a voice instead of dressing up.
You're going to do voices anyway. You can't stop.
Oh, but I've only got like pirate costumes and and like wigs, but you know, like kids ones.
Oh.
Like Elsa. I could be Elsa or a pirate or a Gruffalo.
Couldn't you be Kate Aldridge?
Yeah.
Just wear something tie-dyed. And
just do vocal fry. Sure.
Yeah. And, okay. and put funny colours in your hair.
Oh, that's actually good to do face paint, couldn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I'll get the kids to do it. Okay. Oh, okay.
But do CND...
But I might not come as Kate.
Okay.
And come as something. Because I feel like it might be quite hard to tell what people come as. I feel like we might have to tell each other what we've come
as. Yes, I think that's probably a good
idea.
It's
not as obvious as going as Sandy and Danny from Greece, is it?
No, not really, no.
No.
James Everett, bigger brother.
But anyway, look forward to seeing you there. Great.
Of Dan, says...
Is James coming too?
I don't know. He says, I am the sole member of the newly formed Pip Archer fan club and ex Ambridge on the Couch WhatsApp group member due to Pipgate. Oh dear, he's been expelled from the group.
Oh no.
I feel the need to defend my opinion on Pip, as most people seem very confused. I'm a big fan. which I know may seem a bit strange. When I started listening, I tuned in on and off depending on how interesting I found the story. One of the first stories featured Brookfield, and since then I've always felt a connection with the Brookfield lot, mainly Ruth and Pip. I've always enjoyed their talks about cows and milking duty. James, what is wrong? All in all, I like Pip. She is by far the best Brookfield offspring. She's honest and upfront with people, maybe to a fault, and hardworking. She's great with cows, crap with children, he hasn't put that as me, and should naturally run Brookfield when she and Stella get together. What's not to love? I have genuinely never come across anybody that likes Pip.
Or is that intrigued by the cows?
Yeah.
Lovely. Your affinity with cows, James.
I hope James is coming to the Christmas thing because I want to get a good look at James.
He's coming with Pip.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Joe O'Leary says, hello, you three and Cooper. Well, nephew James, brother of Drive-By Dan, caused a jaw-dropping moment last week. Pip! It's not quite caused Brooker-style ructions, but close. But I concede he did have a point about Ruth. What a time for Stella to reappear. Cheerio, David. Yes. That really would be the end of Jill. And speaking of people reappearing, we desperately need Jenny Darling back to help Rory extricate himself from JW. Perhaps when Lizzie dumps Vince, they can pair up instead. A good way to minimise the misery for the rest of humanity. Loving the new dulcet tones of Lucy's mic.
Yay,
the Lucy. Resident Archer's refuse Nick has made no comments this week about, quote, that woman with the voice, quote, which is praise indeed.
Oh.
That's me alarm again. Bravo, James and Dan's Auntie Jo. I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, being that woman with the voice.
Well, what does it say about you?
It just says that woman with, he's just that woman with the voice. You are that woman with the voices,
no,
I presume.
Your voice does, it's definitely more dulcet. And is we're it? Hoping that this week it'll be louder.
So we're ideally just, I'm going to sound like Betty Thingy from good, Lucy. Round the Hall.
The microphone makes a sexier voice, that's for sure.
Maybe that's what Fallon was using.
She's got a bit of an accent. What's your alarm then? What are you supposed to be taking, or where are you supposed to be going at 10 p.m. on a Friday night?
The dog is very, very poorly.
The dog.
The dog is very, very poorly, and he's got a ruptured eardrum, and he's deaf in one ear, and he's in a hell of a lot of pain.
Oh, bless.
So
it's his drugs.
He's basically off his nuts. He has to have, he's taking two different sorts of tranquilizer and sedative to stop it hurting, plus all the medicine to actually fix what's wrong.
Oh God.
So he's, as Jeff put it, he's tasting colors at the minute. He's spending a lot of time staring at the birds because they move quite fast. And I think he's sort of like, whoa, what's going on? So the alarms are to remind me to give him his last lot of medicine before bed.
Oh, don't forget.
No.
Do you want to do it now?
But bless him, we let him out for a wee yesterday and he just stood there swaying gently in the breeze, then tripped up the steps and sort of came out and sort of stood there in the grass thinking, what did I come out here for? And then trotted back in again. And thought, oh, yeah, wee. Oh, yeah. And turned around and went back out again. It's like living with somebody
Leonard.
In the advanced stages of dementia. Oh, bless him.
Oh, get well soon, Cooper.
Yes. It's like having, you know, reminders for, not reminders for nappy changes, but reminders for, oh, was it nap time? Is it going to put them down,
yes,
and get them up?
Yeah.
It's like that, only furrier.
Yes. Oh, and it's just never fun giving medicine to an animal or baby, is it?
No, especially not when it's down his ears, which are incredibly painful.
God. Tricky. Well,
I've got through more sausage than you would believe, Harriet.
Oh, is that the trick?
Yes.
Give them sausage while you do it. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like putting kids' antibiotics in chocolate mousse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey. Anyway.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah. So that, ladies and gentlemen, is the exciting story of all the alarms that keep going off on my phone.
We've never done such a late podcast, have we?
No. We're normally asleep 2 hours.
Because in my head, I was like, yeah, we're recording late. And I was like, it's going to have some sort of like late night.
But we did do a sexy bit, didn't we? We talked about the sexy sex with...
Did we do it in a sexy... I don't know if we did it in a sexy, sexy way.
No, we didn't. No.
I don't know if we did it in a sort of like, you know, like...
No, we just giggled smooth, like five-year-olds.
Yeah. I felt like 10 p.m. we'd be like... The adrenaline would have really been pumped. I just feel a bit tired, don't you?
Yeah. Slightly tired, too hot and quite thirsty. That's how I feel.
I'm a bit thirsty. I think it's because I had a lot of cheese tonight. Preparation for... I don't know what for... Oh, there's a mosquito here. Ooh, no, I don't think it is, actually. Good.
Yes, what doesn't help is that all the cocktail of different chemicals
drugs.
That my poor dog is taking.
Are you taking some on the side? In sympathy with?
Some of them are so... One of them is a human one, and some of them I had to go to the chemist to get it, and one of them is so strong that you have to take it back to the vet for them to destroy if there's only left. Because you can actually sell it for quite substantial amounts on the black market.
Well, then who takes it back to the vet then? Surely you're never going to. I mean, that's like...
Well, if I sound a bit giggly on the podcast next week, you'll know why.
Yeah.
I've been cracking open the dog's medicine.
Because how do they know?
Well, it's just what they legally have to put on the containers.
Wow. Mm. But couldn't you just have it for personal consumption and never tell anyone?
I could.
What are the side effects? And what are the good effects?
Well, the good effects are apparently you stand in the garden and fall over, judging by the dog, but anyway. But also, the combined toxicity of all this medicine means that he is wandering around the house in a miasma of fart. That is unbelievably eye-wateringly appalling.
Oh, no, Lucy, that's the worst... I'm sorry, but there is nothing more disgusting than a dog fart. Ugh.
The painter and decorator came round the other day and I had to apologise profusely because we both walked into a room and practically started gagging because the dog had been sitting in there farting away.
And you went, oh, it's the dog. And he was like, I've heard that. But yeah, he knows it's you and you're blaming the dog.
Oh, God, it's hideous.
Oh, Lucy,
anyway.
that's awful. Awful.
So I was
You'll
very
have
much
to
looking
start
forward
to taking the drugs to
just recover from the farty smell.
Alleviate, yeah, yeah.
I had visions of me recording this podcast in a sort of a rising yellow tide of
yuck. Oh, Cooper! And you're trying to sell the house.
I know.
It just doesn't help.
I know. But when he does it, even the dog looks around inquiring, like, "Oh, I wonder what that awful smell is." Blimey. That stinks, that does. I think he must think it's us. I don't know. Anyway. Yes. Now, we are now going... I feel bad now because I'm segueing from farting to Febreze. I can't imagine that Febreze does fart. And if he does, I imagine it would smell
of... They'd smell perfume.
Mm. It would be... They'd smell it of... It would be a Jo Maloney candle.
It would be... Well, not lime and basil.
It would be pomegranate,
so
maybe. That pomegranate one that if you walk past and look
White
at the
musk.
Bottle you spend of it, you smell of it for the rest of the day.
I walked past a Jo Malone the other day and I was like, I'm going to go in and put a bit on. But there were so many, like, assistants hovering.
Waiting
and
to pounce.
You can't... Yes, and you feel like you can't spray it on you.
No.
Because they're just going to hover... They're going to jump on you and go, you've sprayed a bit on you. That means you have to pay... £58 for a sample, but you can't put it on I was gutted. Anyway, I don't know nowadays you can never just go and spray yourself and
you can in duty free, that's allowed, but then you just give everyone on the plane asthma attacks because you
you
just reek of pomegranate or whatever it is.
Good idea.
Anyway
sorry, back to Fabrice's farts.
Yes. Let's go over to Farty Febreze and Radio Borsetshire.
Fleur de foufou.
Radio Borsetshire.
Colin, these are in sale, look. Should I get the skinny pleathers or coated cargoes? I worry about these pleathers, as I had some before, and every time I sat down, there was a noise. Really loud. But they look very smart, and everyone said I was best dressed at funeral. So maybe the coated car goes, yes, no. Oh, now. Hello, hello. This is me, Fabrice of Frelpisham, looking like I have just stepped out of the salon, because I have. This weekend is all of the sales for making you spend all your money before Christmas have even properly started, so you can worry all the way through December with no money. It is very useful and good idea. It is very ancient British tradition, I think, that started in 2017 AD. So, all of the business in Ambridge are having sales and offers, and on this show we are very up the locals. Let us see who is on to talk about their Friday blackness. Oh, hello, Jolene. How are you both? I mean, how are you?
We're not allowed to talk about the prices at the Bull. Not sure if you've noticed, but we try and avoid it as much as we can. So giving people details of a Black Friday sale is quite tricky. All I can say is that a pint of Shires is currently some money, and it'll be less money this weekend than it was on Friday. And the second that church bell chimes midnight on Sunday, it's going right back up there again. We only have two customers a week, and both of them are Eddie. And we have to pay Tracy to stand about talking.
Oh, I am sympathy, Jolene. I too run small business. It is very difficult with the cash flow and staffs. My own staffs are on mummy min wage, and I am still not meeting my ends. Oh, here we have another small business, but this time it is a milky one. Hello, Mrs. Susan Crater.
Hope you don't mind, Fabrice. I've prepared a little sales spiel for Bridge Farm. I'm the de facto marketing manager for the dairy. I'm not being funny, but it took Helen 3 weeks to pick cardboard for her cheese boxes. By the time she'd got her act together, the cheese could have walked there on its own. Not surprising they wanted someone a bit more dynamic. Anyway, Black Friday at Bridge Farm starts now. On Sunday. Oh, well, it's probably still on now. Buy two of our delicious and stimulating rhubarb yogurts and get 12 free.
Oh, that is very generous offer, Mrs. Crater.
Yeah, well, they're on the turn and we need to shift them.
Oh, and why are they stimulating?
You'll see if you try one. My Neil says his bowels still twitch when he sees the pot.
Well, that sounds very exciting. What other local business do we have? Oh, Lady Elizabeth.
It's not her, it's me. She's too busy sorting out her chaotic family. Bit trashy, that lot, aren't they? She's asked me to do the sale info. So basically, it's 50% off if you have an afternoon tea in the orangery. I had a brilliant idea, you know. I said, let's get really Christmassy and call it the chocolate orangery. But she wasn't having any of it. Be a lot more interesting than a few mingy salmon sandwiches and a fairy cake. You know, it's not real salmon. Well, some of it is, but sometimes we have to bulk it out with Felix.
Chelsea Orrible, I do not think your Lady Elizabeth would like you to be saying these bad things with your mouth. Bad mouthing, yes. But it just shows that you are not yet professional, even though you think you are. How is the hairdressing course going, by the way?
Hair and beauty, Febreze. It's good, yeah, thanks. We're doing nasal waxing at the moment. We all had to have a go at each other. You wouldn't believe what came out when I yanked the...
Oh, dear. She have cut it out. What is a shame. Right, it is time for me to go now anyway, as I must zip to Zara for those coated cargoes. All it takes is for Ryland to be seen in them, and they will be gone, gone, gone. Colin. Where could I fit my woohoo in near Zara?
Radio Borsetshire.
Hey, Fabrice, if anyone's interested in coming to the Christmas party and they're not a Patreon, like, for example, I literally wouldn't know what to do.
Well, you...
Even though I do this podcast,
I was going to say, we tell people every week, you go to
www.patreon.com
patreon.com/patreon.com/patreon.com.
And then do you type our name in the...
You look up Ambridge on the Couch. Yeah. And then it will give you a subscription amount that you can put in.
And you can put in like 50p a day or a month. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I think the minimum is £2, I think.
Okay, fine. Okay.
Because if it was any lower than that, it would cost them more to process it than, you know, which doesn't make any sense.
And presuming it's like anything, you can always opt out. I mean, not that I'm encouraging people to opt out, but I'm just... I mean...
Thanks, Harry.
Some people might just want to come to the party and then stop paying. Times is hard.
I think so, you can... I think you can do that. I think you can do it for like 2 months or something.
Okay. Yeah, well, whatever. But if you do want to come to the party... Then,
that's how you, that's also, how you do Lucy, it.
Because I always think these are good gauges of us having a proper live party, which I hope we'll do in 2023.
In real life.
In real life. I want us to do a live, maybe not a live podcast, but a live show.
Yes.
/ party. A live
You
gathering.
Just want to get your hair done, innit? And get all dressed up and wear high heels.
I want to have a blow dry. Blowout. I want us to have a blowout, Lucy.
An epic one or iconic.
I'm going to wear an elf hat.
Yeah. Oh, bless Alistair for remembering the elf hat.
So
that's quite sweet.
That made me laugh. There were just some nice little nuggets this week, weren't there?
Yeah.
Anyway, well, whatever. So come to the party.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would be really embarrassing.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if less people come, we can knock off early.
Yeah. It'll just be Christmas. Shambridge sat there covered in CND face paint.
I'm
sitting there in a flat cap and a puffer jacket pretending to be Brian Aldridge.
The 21st of December, there's no way I'm going to be relaxed.
And no, that's true. Will you be writing your Christmas cards off camera with one?
I'll be in H&M buying last minute this and that. But I'll just find a quiet corner in the changing room.
I'll be peeling potatoes.
Because it is quite close to Christmas.
You suggested it, you banana. Why did you say the 20th?
I thought you were going to go with one of the earlier days.
Don't ever give me an option, one of which is a bad one, because you know that is what I will pick.
I was like thinking maybe the 15th or the 16th.
And yet you said the 21st.
But that was
I said, then it will be proper Christmassy, and you put little smiley face and a thumb up.
And then I threw my phone.
Yes, then you went, for God's sake! Well, it's your own fault, and I've told everybody now.
Change it. Oh, what if we all get a better offer? Can we all write in?
Demand a date change. We'll just end up doing like 16 different ones on every other night between now and Christmas because everyone will complain. I can't do the Wednesday. Can we do it on Thursday? But only after 9 because I got Miyakato coming.
Yeah. The Everetts, I think, deserve their own one.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of it. I mean,
I fully expect the Everetts to go carol singing and be knocking on the door while we're.
No, I will look forward to that.
Mm.
And, yeah, it'll be fun.
Yes.
What are we going to do? What do
a
we
quiz.
Do? Yeah, but I suggested that and then I felt bad because who's writing?
Well, I am, aren't I? Because you always do this. You say, oh, but then I felt bad.
I feel super bad.
Yes, I can tell.
Super bad that I suggested that. Yes. But only a quick one.
Okay.
Because we'll want time to chat.
Yes. But we're all going to have to explain to each other who the hell we are because no one's going to know, are they? Right, we better do Matt Rodriguez Payne.
Oh my God, yeah, it's so late. It's like midnight now.
It's so late. he described Jill as the cuckoo in the nest at the ball. So he has done the cuckoo waltz a la Ambridge.
Oh, sweet.
You ready?
Yes.
You can have a little waltz around. You can do your... your Pride and Prejudice dance. Ready?
Yeah.
nice.
Oh, that set me all sort of a bit dizzy, actually.
I thought, were you twiddling round on your wheelie chair?
It was like being in a waltzer.
I could imagine that as a theme tune to a children's TV programme.
Yeah, it was very jolly,
yes,
uplifting.
It was, never, yeah,
I don't know what the cookie waltz is, except if there ever there was a waltz, that's a waltz,
yes,
isn't it?
One, two.
Two, three,
one, two,
three,
one, two, three. Ow! Yes. So, thank you, Matt. Poor Matt's been working very hard for us, hasn't he?
Oh, God. Poor Matt, Lucy.
I know.
And I've got lots of work to do as well, haven't I?
You have. And so
have
I.
Because it's nearly the 1st of December.
I haven't written the pantomime and I haven't finished all the advent calendar
things. I wasn't even thinking about the pantomime.
And now I've got a bloody quiz to write as well.
I feel sick for you.
That's nice.
Ask one of the Everetts.
Okay.
They're up for doing a bit of work for us. They get it right.
Hey, Everetts, one of you must be at a loose end. There's thousands of you.
See if they can come up with a better story for that karaoke microphone and lipstick shenanigans.
I think I could ask Cooper and he'd come up with a better story than that, especially in his current condition.
I think you're harsh, Lucy. You're a harsh critic.
I know.
Of
I'm
a great
sorry.
Show.
Right.
Anyway, thanks, Matt. Thanks so much to Patreons.
Yes.
All our Patreons, I mean, not anyone else's. And thanks so much for your reviews. And get well soon, Cooper. Big hi to Jeff. Big hi to Lucy. You're there.
Anyone else?
Oh, I feel so tired.
I was going to say, are you all right, Harriet?
No,
I was going to say, you need to go and have a lie down. But as it's 10:15, it's at least 2 hours past your bedtime.
Now I'm a bit worried that, you know, like, I feel like, you know, when you've been to the theatre and you come home, or you've done
then
a
you
show
can't
and
sleep.
You come home, you can't sleep. Mm. The adrenaline's pumping.
Mm.
What am I going to do?
I think you'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Thanks. By the time you've made it upstairs, you'll be on all fours. You'll be fine.
All right, Lucy. Sex life. I know it's Friday night, but we're not rabbits. I do get annoyed though if Ruth, I don't like my current partner to be sleeping before I am.
Right.
I can't.
Thank God
sleep.
You said that. I was really worried about where that comment was going. I was thinking, did she realise we're still recording?
I don't like anyone to be asleep before me.
Anyone?
No.
Okay.
I just don't like hearing someone asleep. If I'm not asleep, I don't like hearing someone
Do you accidentally
asleep.
Wake him up on purpose by dropping
yes,
books on him and things?
Yes, of course I do.
Oh, sorry. Did I wake you by turning all the lights on next to your head? Sorry.
Yes, of course I do. I'm horrible. But it's one rule. It's a rule. I must be the first to be asleep. Otherwise, I get anxious.
Okay. What do you get anxious about?
That I'm not going to be able to fall asleep.
Oh.
Because I've got a good pattern. And when you miss your window?
Yeah.
It's a nightmare, isn't it? You miss your sleep window and then you can't sleep.
No, my sleep window is 23 hours out of 24. So that's fine. I can sleep anywhere.
Can you? Can you, Lucy?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Just straight to sleep?
Yep.
Wow.
It's because my thyroid's knackered. So I'm permanently tired anyway.
Wow.
Yeah. I fell asleep in the foyer of the National Theatre.
Oh, my God. wow. Well, yeah. At least it wasn't during the show.
No.
It was in the foyer.
Yeah.
Getting the tickets.
I was waiting for someone else to pick up tickets.
Oh, God.
Yeah, just absolutely anywhere. Apart from on a long-haul flight, which is when you most want to go to sleep.
Oh,
anyway.
My God. I've got that sort of feeling tonight, though, because it's a bit late and I feel like we're up after our bedtime, but we're chatting.
Hmm. Have you had a drink?
Yeah. Okay. That's probably why I feel like I'm on a long haul flight. I feel a bit dizzy. I think I better go to bed.
Yeah. Or you could take your shoes off, turn the telly on, and then have someone's hair dangling over the screen so you can't see it properly. And then you can probably recreate the long haul flight experience. And then you'll maybe drop off.
I'll just shut the... Yeah. Anyway, thanks, Lucy.
That's all right. Go to bed now, Harriet.
I'm going to go and... Before I go to bed, I'm going to go and listen to some Dro Kenji.
Yeah, go on then.
my bro Joe. Anyway, if any young person wants to write in with the real pronunciation of his name, thank you. Make up that bit. God, I'm like as patronising as... Who is the patronising person?
Fallon to Jeremy.
Fallon, yeah. Anyway.
Go away. But go to sleep.
You know, I find these. I find it so difficult to say goodbye, Lucy. I know.
You have it's attachment really anxiety. I'm just going to play the theme tune so you can go away.
Yeah, just cut me off.
Okay.
Bye!
On a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.